today's date is October 11th, 2024. We're in Spirit of Prophecy, Volume 2, on page 211, I think. Yep. Last paragraph. And this is what it says. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And, of course, we're in that one area where Sister White's talking about the Sermon on the Mount in regards to the Beatitudes. And this is this one beatitude. And all of us, as a matter of fact, Fran and I were talking about this a few minutes ago, too. We're in, I think it's SOP 3 or so. I don't know what we're in, her and I reading. That we were just reading a little bit ago, you know, for Sabbath. Or every night, you know. But, that which Jesus went through, we're going to have to go through, too, but not to the extreme. Well, some of us may have to go through that extreme, depending upon our walks and what things in our life the Lord is trying to remove to protect us, kind of a thing. You know, because a lot of people don't realize that. Even guys that end up behind bars, they once they end up behind bars, now they got time to think, and then they realize. I mean, there's a lot of jailhouse conversions. And usually when someone really finds Christ in prison, that is, it pretty much locks down. So, I'm not up in Twitch. Says I am. It's showing me. Hold on, let me go on the other server here. All right. Oh, it says offline for some reason over here. Let me pull it in. It's saying live now. Hit refresh, Brother Mel. Hit F5, because that's what works for me. I don't actually use that the monitor to stream. Well, I do use the monitor to stream, but I don't usually monitor it. But, yeah, it's up. Sorry about that. Okay. Now, I'm hoping I'm up. But yeah, F5 should do it. And if that doesn't do it, CTRL and then F5, hit the control button and F5 at the same time. And if that don't work, shut the browser down, start it up again, and it should work. But, yeah, it's showing the audio going through. It's showing the amount of viewers. And let's see if it does the transition. Yep, it's doing the transitions, so it's doing everything. Okay. So, getting back, blessed are they which are persecuted for the righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And like I was saying, you know, some of us are a little confused as to why we're going through some of the things we're going through. And we don't seem to realize it's because we need this training. And if there's something in our life that the Lord knows we're idolizing, because I looked back, I mean, years ago when I was preaching on this one pulpit, it was real close to West Lafayette. It's one of the back roads. And I knew of a family there that was going to have a real rough time when the mark is enforced. Because they had a lot of money and they spent it on their house and their animals and their land and all this other stuff. And just, I thought when the time comes to run, the Lord just might let that house be taken in a flood a year before, or let it burn down or something like that, because some people will idolize their homes, or they'll idolize their cars, or they'll idolize whatever, and then he'll just remove them. He loves them that much. They won't get it right off sometimes, and it'll take them a little while to understand, but they will eventually understand. So, hopefully. And that's why some people end up behind bars, is because the Lord allows them to get caught. So they get time to think. And some only need to spend a night or two. And that's all that need, scared straight kind of a thing, you know. And so don't take the trials. We're to glory in the trials and tribulations. I mean, doesn't that say that in Romans 5? I mean, where is it here? Romans 5, I'm going to put it in the room. Okay, let's see if it fits. Yep, Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith. Is this the one? Yeah. Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And I was just thinking about this morning when I was in Acts chapter 19 in regards to how the Holy Ghost is so prominent in the lives of God's people, especially in these last days. And this is why there's such an attack on the existence of the Holy Ghost. They declare he is just the thought process between the Father and the Son. Because that's what the Vatican teaches. And literally, just go to Vatican.gov, I think it is, and just look at their statement of faith and look at the word, go over the words Trinity, and it's exactly how they're preaching today. And it reminds me of when Paul, where was he in Acts 19? Man, I can't even remember the name of the city. But I never got into the city names, nor do I get into names. I got friends from high school that I never knew their names, but I've never been good with names. Faces, not a problem. But they literally came back saying, when he says, how were you baptized? And they were baptized into the baptism of John, which is, the baptism unto repentance. And he told them about the Holy Ghost, and they said, we didn't know if there was even such a thing as the Holy Ghost. Well, that's the same mindset of today. Satan tested the waters back then, and he's doing it now. But now he's twisting the waters to the point where they're denying that the Holy Spirit exists at all. Why? Well, because billions are going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost very soon, and he needs to get them to blaspheme in a bevy of different ways, because not everybody's going to do it the same way. That's why I wrote that track. Billions will soon blaspheme the Holy Ghost on this planet. That's what the mark of the beast is. They're going to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Ghost is going to tell them what the mark is. But if they don't believe the Holy Ghost exists, they're not going to hear thing one. It's like those people standing at Christ's baptism and they only heard thunder. Or those people that were on, or those guys that were with Paul on the road to Damascus when that great light in Christ appeared to Paul. Paul understood the words. His friends or his soldiers or whatever that were with him, they heard the voice too, but it was like a different language to them. And such a way, as a matter of fact, Fran and I were reading about that just right before Sabbath, well, right after Sabbath started, actually, and tonight. And so, God speaks to absolutely everybody on this planet. It's up to us to be able to hear him. So many people say, I try, I'm trying. And, no, you're not. But it's not an easy thing to understand, because they really don't get it. I didn't get it until I was up against the wall and I just let go, let God. I said, look, I can't do this. You got to have to take it from here. And I just trusted him to do it. And he did. And he'll do it for any one of us. I mean, if he could do it to a low life or for a low life like me, yeah, he can do it for any of us. Or if he could do it for a killer like Paul, oh yeah, he could do it for any of us. So blessed are ye when you, in other words, this is Jesus talking still in the Beatitudes. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Does that sound familiar? Yeah. It always sounds, ever since we got online, even before we got online, but nobody online knew about it until we got online, but that's the norm. And we have to let everybody know that that is the norm. It's not all cookies and cream. It's not all peaches and cream, rather. It's, when you become a Christian, you're going to have to deal with the attack from Satan. And some people just don't want to hear that, but they don't seem to realize that when Satan attacks, Jesus blesses. So as strong as Satan attacks, that's how much of a blessing of peace you get and courage and discernment and faith and conviction, to stay the course. And this is why Satan attacks some people more than others, because some people are a threat more than others. But like if you've gone through it for many, many years, it gets to the point where it gets kind of like the norm for the people that hate you, and it's like, no big deal. It's a blessed education, you know, so that when we go through the plagues, we'll have a better understanding how to deal with it. But sadly, a lot of people won't find out until, you know, without, you know, these kind of attacks until the very close to the end, and they might not. Some will, but some might not be able to handle going through the plagues, and so they'll have to take a nap, you know, like go to sleep in the grave before, you know, before plague one. So finishing what Jesus is saying here, he says, rejoice, you know, when they persecute for and speak evil of you and accuse you of things you didn't do. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Why? Because, yeah, they're attacking you, but you're still not giving up. And that's why he did the parable about the seeds, sowing the seeds. Some people will give up. They can't handle it. I don't know how many people I've seen in my life and siblings that found Christ, left the Catholic Church, and because of the, you know, the pressure from the family, you know, the kissy-kissy hug thing, and then or the shovey-shovey thing, or then all of a sudden the name-calling and ridicule thing. Some of them can't take it. They don't want to deal with it. They love the family so much that, you know, but Jesus said, if you love your brother, your daughter, sister, mother, you know, a bit more than him, you're not worthy of heaven, because you got to put him first. As much as we loved him, and we still do, it's not that we shun or hate them. We love them, and literally love them enough to stay on the path, because they're not seeing what we're seeing. And so eventually, hopefully, they'll see that every time they attacked expecting a frown, they saw a smile, and hopefully that'll affect them. You know, because there's been some pretty good seeds all of us had planted in loved ones around us, you know, spouses that don't believe, siblings that don't believe, parents that don't believe, or even your kids and friends and relatives, classmates, you know, coworkers. You know, you never know who's watching. Nobody knew I was watching, you know, when I was watching people. And so again, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And think about that. Especially in these last days, we have a lot more access to truth and understanding and information than some of the prophets did, because we have 66 books in the Bible. So our job is a little easier, because we can always do that open book test, you know, day by day. I love it to be able to go into the Bible and get the answers I seek for those that are asking the questions. But the prophet back then had to rely 100%, you know, on utterance. And some of us, yeah, we have to do that too. You know, but I praise God for John 14:26, because I don't know how many people have the same problem I do with memorizing. I just trust the Lord. He gives me the verses when I need them. And sometimes I don't know the exact location of the verse, but I know the truth. And there's no shame in that. I mean, think about it. The Bible, the way it's written today, is not the original design. It was one long sentence. But with the knowledge increasing, according to what Daniel said in the last days, I can understand why it was sectioned off into chapters and verses. But if you look at the way the apostles even would talk, they wouldn't give you a chapter and verse. They would just say, yeah, Isaiah said this, or Jeremy said that. Yeah, they called Jeremiah Jeremy. So anyway, going on, it says, Jesus here shows them that at the very time when they are experiencing great suffering in his cause, they have reason to be glad and recognize that their afflictions are profitable to them, having an influence to wean their affections from the world and concentrate them upon heaven. There's always a blessed agenda from the Lord when he allows us to go through the things we go through. It's always based on love, even though some of us can't understand it. Like that atheist I saw on the street corner at one time. And he denied Christ because he prayed for 45 straight minutes for a loved one that was dying, and they died anyway, and he got all upset. I says, try praying for 45 years. 45 minutes ain't nothing. But you based it all on those 45 minutes. You declared your God to be an order taker, do this or I'm walking kind of an attitude. It's not how Christianity works. Trust him, whether he says yes or no. It's the only way to do it. Because then he'll bless you even further. You might not understand the trial or the grieving you're going through at that time, but I got to tell you, hindsight is definitely 20/20 when it comes to the Lord's blessings. Because I remember when I was going through the 1,011-day trial with the family, we were literally homeless, all 10 of us. And looking back, I mean, when I was there, I didn't like it. Couldn't stand it. Was moping the whole time. But then now when I look back, I praise God for it. Because some of the most amazing things happened during that time. And I had I did my praise list back then, too. As a matter of fact, that's when I started the praise list, was during that time. I still have all those books. So going on, she says that he taught them that their losses and disappointments would result in actual gain, that the severe trials of their faith and patience should be cheerfully accepted rather than dreaded and avoided. See, that's one of the things I've always loved about the Lord when... you know, when I'm going through a trial or something like that, and he makes me smile. He shows me. So, or even when I commit a sin, let's say, and I go into confession and repent and feel like the scum of the earth kind of a thing, and then he just kind of gives me a hug from heaven, you know, reminding me of 1 John 1:9 kind of a thing, and takes time out of his busy eternity to just share more love and let you know everything's okay. You're still my child. And he gives you a big old hug. And for those of you that like to see an in-depth reality of that, read Steps to Christ, page 70 to 72. It'll knock your socks off. And you may very well weep like I did. I mean, it is an amazing, you know, 3 pages. The way she outlines it and just talks about how, don't let it get to you. Everybody goes through it. Don't think you're all, you know, special. Like, even in the bad realm, you know, don't think that because you committed that sin, you're guaranteed damnation, you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, and you're going to hell in a handbasket. No, don't let the devil get you on that one. And that's what happens. People just give up because their prayers ain't answered right away. And that's, I blame that all on the popes of Rome, 100%. It's on their shoulders. You know, not 100%, 99%, the rest, 100% is on Satan's shoulders, obviously. But Roman Catholicism has destroyed Christianity in the hearts of billions. They haven't destroyed Christianity, though, real Christianity, but they have really muddied the waters on it and turned it into all sorts of crazy. I mean, 44,000 denominations spun off from Roman Catholicism, and they're still embracing Roman Catholic theology or dogma instead of doctrine. It's pretty bad, but it was supposed to happen that way. All part of the test. She goes on to say that these afflictions were God's agents to refine and fit them for their peculiar work and would add to the precious reward that awaited them in heaven. He charged them, when persecuted by men, not to lose confidence, nor become depressed and mourn over their hard lot, but to remember that righteous men of the past have likewise suffered for their obedience. Anxious to fulfill their duty to the world, fixing their desire upon the approbation of God, they were calmly and faithfully to discharge every duty, irrespective of the fear or favor of man. So no matter what man does, whether they're smiling at you or frowning at you, do it. It doesn't matter. Because that's what your Father would have you do. That's the duty of every single solitary Christian, whether you're a wallflower or not. And if you are shy, you know, or a shrinking violet, you know, you can still hand someone a track or slip that track to them somehow to get them, you know, do that. Eventually, you'll be handing them to you. The Lord does pull a lot of us out of our shells, you know, because that's part of the enemy's attack, too, to make people, you know, ashamed of their Jesus, maybe. Because a lot of people will go that way where they're afraid to share Jesus with someone because they'll call him a Jesus freak or something. So that means you're ashamed of Jesus. Who cares what they think? Especially if they hear the message and get blessed by it. And then they come to you and say, thank you. There's a faith booster. That makes you want to go out and do it even more. You know, you don't need a lot of those. One or two. Every year or so is good. Because I remember I did it for many years, handing out those tracks. And I got a P.O. box and all that with, I put my P.O. box number on the, in the track. And I never got a response. But sometimes I would, you know, and I never asked for donations. So I wasn't looking for donations. I was looking for questions. And, but on the street I did. You know, I got some pretty good responses every now and then. Like I'd run into somebody. Like just recently with this guy that drives for Amazon. Just found out his name today is George. And he's a real joyful guy, too. And I gave him the Billions Will Blaspheme the Holy Ghost track. And he actually read it. He told me he read it. And when I saw him the second time, I asked him, so what did you think? And he goes, wow, it's weird how what you were saying is what I've been seeing. So that blessed my heart. You know, I got a good one. But out of all the guys in like UPS or FedEx or wherever, or Amazon, only two of them, or one of them rather, refused the track. And he's the nicest guy in the bunch. He was actually here today delivering something. He's a real nice guy. And but he's atheist. He literally told me, says, because I was handing him a track, he goes, oh, no, I'm atheist. I don't believe in any of that. And but I still, you know, throw this, throw that, whatever I can at him. And then, of course, that one Jehovah Witness that said, sorry, I can't accept any of your reading material. It's against our religion. And I thought, yeah, well, that kind of makes sense. I didn't say it, but that's the mindset of a cult. That's one of the six signs. But anyway, going on, she says that those things which seem to the Christian most grievous to be born often prove his greatest blessing. And I got to say a big amen to that. You know, it's really, really some of the roughest tests are the biggest thank yous that I can throw up to heaven. She says reproach and falsehood have ever followed those who were faithful in the discharge of duty. A righteous character, though blackened in reputation by slander and falsehood, will preserve the purity of its virtue and excellence. Because it's using Satan's tools. Think about that. They are using lies in their attacks against us, you know, like with the people that, even before YouTube, there was a few people that made websites slamming Remedy God, making up all these things. Never affected us at all. And, although I would mention them once in a while because somebody would contact me and says, hey, I read about this. I read this about you and all this. And I says, yeah, well, take a look at this. Because what they're saying and what I'm saying, two different things. And it's kind of like this video I just put on the blog today where I didn't use the headline for the video. I just put on there, wow, is our government corrupted or something like that. The American government is so corrupted. An actual lawyer steps into the Congress hall yesterday or the day before or something like that. And it's like an 18 or 15-minute video, and he's showing them how all these lies that they set up in the media against Trump. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't vote. I'm not going to vote for Trump or Biden or anybody or Kamala. I'm not going to vote for anybody. I never have voted, never will vote. And that's why I also put that one article up about the Pope saying he's slamming Harris and Trump, but saying you got to vote for a lesser of two evils. And I just put up there, Mr. Borgio, sorry, or I didn't say sorry, I says, a vote for evil, a vote for lesser of two evils is still a vote for evil, you know. But he's a pope; he's all about politics, and so. But what the lawyer showed, he put literally videos up where they were saying Trump said this or Trump said that, and they always stopped the video short to make it look like he said what they said he meant. You know, like with the January 6th thing, he just exonerated Trump in front of all those congressmen, showing him they've been saying this. That he said this, but now look at the whole video, and he would only show like 30 seconds. Well, that's what they're doing to us. And they're going to do this until the eastern sky splits. And when they do this, sing like Paul and Silas did in prison. Because they're actually using Satan's tools to come against us, which proves we're on the right path. We're doing the work because we can back everything up with Scripture. And I'm not trying to compare ourselves to Trump or even anything, because Trump is just as sinful as the rest of them. He's in it for the money like they are. And he knows he's going to die soon, and so he doesn't realize Christ is coming, and he thinks he's going to build up this big empire for his children, which are just going to die when the eastern sky splits in a few years, and so it doesn't matter. He doesn't know that, though. And that's how Satan has to keep them in darkness in that respect. So he has to make his plan work. But when they come against us and they make these slanderous statements and all these falsehoods that eventually get found out every time they do it, it might take a couple, 3, 4, or 5 years. Who cares? I mean, seriously, if your Father in heaven is okay with what you're doing, who cares what they're saying? Eventually, it's going to come out. And if it doesn't come out until the eastern sky splits, well, then all we got to do is, you know, when we go through the vindicated judgment at the end of the 1,000 years, it's going to be blasted before everybody anyway. Then we won't even care. But everybody will know, just looking up and seeing us in the city proves that they must have been lying about us because we're in the city. She goes on, trampled in the mire or exalted to heaven, the Christian's life should be the same. And the proud, conscientious of innocence is its own reward. In other words, like I've always used to say, it's a lot easier to keep track of the truth because it doesn't change. I used to be a liar back when, before I was a Christian. And lies are hard to keep, you know, on par because you got to keep rebuilding the lie because it keeps on getting found out. So you got to figure a new avenue is how to keep the lie going. And that's why the politics are the way they are. And that's why lawyers are the way they are. Not all of them, but there are a lot of the lawyers will use the law, and it has to be constantly, it's just like with the AMA. They're practicing medicine because they can never get it right. There's no way they can figure out how the human body works into a perfect science. They can't even figure out how the DNA is programmed, if you will. Because that DNA is a literal, it's like a computer program, but it's written by a God. And they can't get around, there's no way they can figure that out how it works. And it even repairs itself. And the permutations just for one strand, oh, it's off the chart. Even with the supercomputers, they can't figure it out. So they got to say they're practicing medicine, just like they're practicing law. It's not a perfect science, never will be. Because they keep twisting the law to vindicate themselves or build on a lie. Look at some of the laws they pass in this country so as to cripple and remove, you know, like the regulations of all the businesses or even free speech. It's all based on their own agenda, but it eventually fails. That's why they keep on going after the Christians. And then someone comes in that's an actual Christian lawyer, let's say, and then the Christian wins and gets these hundreds of thousands of dollars in reward for, you know, staying the course, if you will, during the lawsuit that they were being sued. And but that also gives the lawyers a better way to figure out how to go after the Christian in a different way next time. Just how Satan works. When the enemy of souls comes against you and you stop him by just choosing Jesus, every time he comes against you, you just keep on telling him to get thee hence, Satan, I choose Jesus. He'll eventually stop messing with you in that area because every time he comes at you in that spot, you glorify God. And he don't want to do that. And so he'll come at you in a different way. But each time you pass the test, like she says here, the innocence, the blessing from on high, it's kind of like you're a little kid again, but you're an adult. The purity of the innocence of Christianity, oh, it just makes you smile from ear to ear in your heart. She says the persecution of enemies tests the foundation upon which the reputation really rests. I remember when I first looked into Sister White, and this literally locks it down, what she just said. The persecution of enemies tests the foundation upon which the reputation really rests. And the way I got blessed by this was back in the Fire Talk days. It was the first time we ever did audio chat rooms. And when we were doing church every night and, of course, on Sabbath, all day on Sabbath. And it was called Fire Talk. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, I'm on there for about a year now, I think. I was on there for a whole 18 months because that's how long they were on. Like, you know, the guys that ran it got all mixed up in wine, women, and song, and so they went belly up and lost everything, and then Fire Talk was gone. It's back now, but it's not the same. And it went belly up, and then Pell Talk took over because Pell Talk was infiltrating anyway, so we kind of figured that was going to happen. But I'm on there for a year and sharing the truth. And like I said before, every now and then someone comes up to me and says, where did you get this information? And I would always ask, what denomination are you? Just out of curiosity. Because every denomination you could think of was coming into the chat room. We had a lot of people in there every night. And, you know, they say Baptist, Lutheran, whatever. very few Catholics. And the ones that were Catholic were growling at you, you know. Not much you can do with them but pray. And you know, like the Titus 3:10 thing. Many of them were SDA. And after I started finding out the SDA message, I still didn't know who Ellen White was. When I found out the SDA message, I would always tell them, how is it you guys ain't getting this? Isn't this where your church literally catapulted from in the 1800s? I didn't even know about 1844 yet. And that always hit me as odd. And then somebody sent me an Ellen White DVD and told me to check it out. And I didn't, you know, for a couple, 3, 4 years. I don't even know how many years it sat there. But I looked into her on the internet. And everywhere I looked, they were saying she was a false prophet. She was a witch using mesmerism or hypnotism, like they say today, like mass hypnosis. And so she was using mesmerism, and she was a pagan, and she had pagan spires on her, Freemasonry with all the Masonic symbols and stuff like that, and she was a false prophet and everything like that. And so I thought, man, everybody's talking this woman down. And so I decided to look into who they were, and the majority of them were either Roman Catholic or ex-SDA. And so then I looked into her, and that's when I did those studies on the keys to a true prophet and the keys to a false prophet. And I found she had all the keys of a true prophet, and then all the keys of the false prophet were all the people that were persecuting her. And so their foundation, you know, the persecution of the enemies tested the foundation upon which her reputation really did rest, and it was in Christ. And that's how I found out that she really was a prophet. So I really started checking her out. But I still didn't use her on the pulpit for many years because I didn't just want to read one book and say, okay, she's a prophet. I just wanted to go through all, you know, do my due diligence, you know. Because I am, one of the reasons I get heated up when I preach, and I always got to put these fans on, is I'm just excited, of course, at first. But the other reason is I'm just, it's a fearful thing. It's a good fearful, you know, reverence. I give reverence unto my Heavenly Father. And I rely heavily on His, you know, the Holy Spirit's utterance when he allows it. And I don't want to say anything that'll hurt someone, cause them problems. And it's been like that since day one. Only day one, I also had to deal with stage fright because the enemy of souls got me with stage fright for some reason. But boy, that went away that one day. It was gone. But for years, I never went up to the pulpit because I was scared. Well, I wouldn't say years, but anyway, it was a long time. She goes on, sooner or later, it is revealed to the world whether or not the evil reports were true or were poisoned shafts of malice and revenge. And that's how it always happens. I mean, look at the last few attacks on this church family. Or just the SDR movement alone. All these false statements that have been put out there. All of them have already been proven false. You know, and that's why the atheists, we had 3 so far join our number. I'm sure there's many atheists listening now or later, like the pre-recorded stuff, but because the Lord's going to send them because He can trust us. And this is why I believe a good portion of 144,000 is going to be coming out of this movement, because we are trustworthy. We only want to go by that which is written. Thus saith the Lord, and that's it. He said it, I believe it, that settles it. My favorite bumper sticker. And so she goes on, constancy in serving God is the only safe manner of settling such questions. Jesus would have His people use great care to give the enemies of His cause no ground to condemn their holy faith. They could slam us all they want. It's just like, let's say you end up in a courtroom. Don't rehearse, because the Lord specifically said, don't do that. So don't. Just pray and ask Him to give you utterance, understanding, wisdom, focus, faith, all of it. When you're in a jail cell, let's say. Or if you have to go in a specific place where you're not in jail, but you're at home and they demand your presence in a courtroom or whatever, just pray and ask the Lord to give you the utterance that you're going to need, because it's going to come out of your mouth. Many of us have already witnessed that when we're trying to share or actually sharing our faith with somebody on the phone, on the street, or wherever. All of a sudden, things come out of your mouth. Like, I don't know how many times I've, you know, and you've all said it too, like when some of you that have preached in the past in this church family, and you hear yourself on a pre-recorded sermon from, on a WTBR or something like that, and myself included, sometimes I says, wow, where did that come from? You know, and it's just amazing. He does care for you, and he will do it. He's shown us. He's given us the evidence of the things that we can hope for and the substance. And so she says, no wrong action should cast a stigma, upon its purity. And so, and for some of us, the easiest way to explain that is they get all up in your face. Don't get angry. Don't get all up in their face. Just stand firm. They slap you in the cheek. Let them hit you again. It don't matter. They can't kill you. And if they do, you're going to get up again. They're not, but you will. So death down here is just extremely temporary for the Christian. Permanent for the others, obviously. Well, I mean, we all know they're going to get up again, but that's just with the executive judgment that Isaiah speaks of, where he calls a strange act or strange work of our Father, because that is pretty strange for him to do that, because he's all merciful. But they demanded his wrath. He has done everything he possibly could. And that's why we go through that 1,000 years going through the books of judgment. When we're looking through it, we're realizing, because, and I have no doubt in my mind, like say somebody you know personally or even a loved one doesn't make it. You have to go through their books and you realize that, yeah, the Lord did absolutely everything he could to reach them. So yeah, he has every right to be angry. He literally handed them everything on a silver platter and they still didn't want it. And what shocks me is when the poor are like that. I can get it with the rich. They think they're all that and they don't need God because they got everything the world has to offer them. But I've always found talking to the poor is a lot easier because we're already used to the fact that the world doesn't give them anything. But then I don't understand some of them that are dirt poor go out and do these awful crimes and don't even love God or claim to be atheists. I think that is just the dumbest thing ever. It's only, you know, it's the absolutely, there isn't a dumber person on the planet than an atheist. Come on, you could see God in a tree growing in your backyard. But they decide not to. And it's the only reason they declare themselves atheists, they're waiting for a Christian to come up and tell them otherwise. I honestly believe that in my heart of hearts. That's why every time an atheist emails me, my very first question is, how long have you been looking for Christ? How long have you been seeking him out? Sometimes they get all upset and get in my face about it. And I says, no, really, seriously, how long have you been looking for him? Because, come on, you know I'm a preacher. You know I'm a Christian. Why are you hitting on my YouTube channel? Why are you watching my videos? And why do you come to the website? And why do you email me? You know me. I mean, I wear my life on my sleeve. And so they can't hide that. Every atheist is searching for somebody to really show Christ. That's why they're so boldly atheist. They're trying to prove Christ doesn't exist. They're hoping. They're hoping with their deepest emotion that he doesn't exist. And that's why they get overly angry when a real Christian steps up and just gives them a few words that they've never heard before. And it just puts them back. Praise God for that, though. Truth can be so easy. So, she says, when all arguments fail, the slanderers frequently open their galling fire upon the besieged servants of God, but their lying tongues eventually bring curses upon themselves. You know, what goes around comes around kind of a thing. Because I've always said that over the years. That's why when someone seeks, to come against me, to kill me, let's say, I pray for them immensely because I'm not going to die. They are, if they continue on that path. I've seen people that wanted me dead end up dying. And people that wanted to destroy us financially ended up homeless and so on and so forth, right? That always comes back to them because they're fighting against God. And no, we're not declaring ourselves to be God. We're declaring ourselves to be children of God. You're messing with his family and he's going to protect us. He's always done it, always will. Even during the plagues, he's going to do it right up to the, you know, that cup that we got to drink for the last 15 days of plague 6. He's going to protect us. Yeah, amen to that. So God will, she says, will finally vindicate the right, honor the guiltless, and hide them in the secret of his pavilion from the strife of tongues. God's servants have always suffered reproach, but the great work moves on amid persecution, imprisonments, stripes, and death. And for those of you that don't know what stripes are, you know, you get those stripes on your back from getting whipped or beaten or whatever. She says, the character of the persecution changes with the times, but the principle, the spirit that underlies it, is the same that stoned and beat and slew the chosen of the Lord centuries ago. It's the same demonic spirit, because angels, whether they're good or fallen, are angels. They live a lot longer than we do. And so what they did back then, they're still doing today, but they have to use different methods because it's different times. She says, there was never one who walked a man among men more cruelly slandered than the Son of God. If you don't believe it, read Isaiah 53. That's why it's illegal to read that out loud on the streets of Jerusalem. It puts them in their place. They know what they did. She says, he was met at every point with bitter reproaches. Why? Because he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He wasn't of this world. Nor should we be. This world has nothing to offer us. She says, they hated him without a cause. The Pharisees even hired men to repeat from city to city the falsehoods which they themselves fabricated to destroy the influence of Jesus. And we just saw that happen in the Philippines 3 or 4 times already. I say or 4 because I can't remember if the 4th one actually. Because it just happened again recently with those people that used to be part of our number years ago. One of them, quote unquote, a leader of theirs who is in open sin, approached one of the families and kind of confused the person that he was approaching into conning them into accepting him into their home. And then she got all confused. But the Lord again sent one of the brothers in the faith, you know, one of the pastors out there of the SDR movement, and got it all fixed up again, you know, just by sharing more truth. They keep trying. Every time we go somewhere, they're right behind us, just like every time Jesus or the apostles went somewhere, the Pharisees were right there behind them to try to mess things up. We have overwhelming evidence what we're sharing is absolute. And so it's going to happen that way. And I praise God for that, because again, they wouldn't be doing this if we weren't doing something right. She says, yet he stood calmly, Jesus, he stood calmly before them, declaring that reproach was a part of the Christian's legacy, counseling his followers how to meet the arrows of malice, bidding them not to faint under persecutions, but rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. And that hits hard, like a golden brick from heaven on the hearts of those that love him, because we know this is what we want. Not the persecution, no. We want that blessing. We want to rejoice. We want to be exceeding glad. We want the blessings from the Holy Spirit that declares and gives us that heavenly hug to let us know we are being blessed. That's why Paul and Silas were singing in a prison, of all places, that night. It was working. It really clicked. It happened. And they expected it. And even though going through it, it was still just, it had to be amazing. And even the times that we have, you know, seen similar persecutions, not as bad as they did. I mean, you know, there's been some pretty rough stuff, but I don't think, you know, I mean, it's going to be worse in the coming days. We know that. But it's all the trials we go through now, yeah, it's preparing us for tomorrow. It's just like with a weightlifter, you know, if you want to be strong, you know, lift the weights. So you can lift more weights later. Well, that's what he's doing. He's teaching us to be strong. Some of us are slow learners. That's why Fran and I have been going through it for 40 years. I mean, I think she learns better than I do, quicker. But I kind of have to get smacked upside the head quite a few times before I go, oh, wow, I didn't notice that, you know, and then start walking right, you know. But anyway, she says, Jesus continued to impress upon the minds of his disciples the responsibility of their relation to the world. Said he, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. The people could see. Now check this out. Because I didn't know this until, I think we read this before. Yeah, Fran and I read this. Yeah, because I think we did 1, 2, and we're on 3 now. She says, the people could see the white salt glistening in the pathway where it had been cast out because it had lost its savor. And it was therefore useless. Fran was just telling me this morning or something like that when she was out in, she was one of her sister's had her visit her out in Bonaire or something like that, Bonaire or some other place where she was on the shore of the ocean, and it was foam. And you know, the foam is just the salty stuff that comes off the, you know, the pink salty stuff. And so she grabbed a whole handful and stuck it in her pocket. It was all wet, obviously. And then went home and took it out and set it on the table and let it dry out for a week, she said. And it's real salt. But that's not the manufactured salt like you would get like on the salt flats. I think it's in Utah where they do the racing because it's so flat. Or even the salt you mine in America underneath the ground where you grind it up and it lasts a little. Like Celtic salt, too. It's not easy to lose its savor. Even though it's kind of wet when you get it, it stays wet, too, because it's always drawing moisture towards it. But I would imagine that stuff is you pull off, like, the foam. And some of that foam can get so intense that it'll fill a neighborhood. There's videos on YouTube about that, in fact. Oh, hold on. I think Fran's going to correct me on something here. It was the shore of a lake, not the ocean. Must have been a salty lake, then. Yeah, because... lakes are usually freshwater. There's not going to be, because there's an algae, like an algae bloom foam too sometimes. But yeah, I would imagine. I wonder if that's how they would get table salt for themselves, you know, a couple thousand years ago. I don't know, because they didn't, like the way we do it today, everything is all, you know, pretty much manufacturing inventions and stuff that they do. I don't know why, but it always reminds me when I talk about salt of that one time that they were drilling, or they had a mine. And they were a salt mine, and they were working underneath a lake. And they got a little bit too close to the bottom of the lake and popped a hole into the lake, and the lake just started streaming into the mine. And, boy, gigantic 60-foot trees went straight down in it. I mean, vertically. They didn't fall over. They just vertically. I mean, the whole lake was just destroyed. Because eventually the water came down there and dissolved the salt, and it was a bigger hole now, so more water came in. It's on YouTube. It's a pretty scary-looking video. Like a whirlpool, pulling everything down. Because we do have a lot of salt in this country, I guess. But she goes on. Jesus used salt as an illustration of the Christian's life and teachings upon the world. Were it not for the few righteous who inhabit the earth, the wrath of God would not be delayed a moment from punishing the wicked. Think about that, too. And like I always said, like if we get... like when the Civil War comes, because we know it's going to happen. It's prophesied, right? And let's say, even if you're out in the middle of nowhere, let's say they want to commandeer your house, because I mean, the troops are going from state to state, and they're fighting and doing whatever they're doing, right? And let's say they come to your house, and they just figure, all right, we're going to spend the night here, and they're going to commandeer it. And if they're pushy, shovey kind of guys, I'm going to stop them, and I says, wait, can we talk for a moment here? Because I want to share something with you guys. I'll do everything that I possibly can to make your stay better, because I am a servant of God, and I will do everything I can to make it easy for you to be here. Now, I don't choose sides, because I've never even voted, but I want to let you know, and this isn't a threat, because I don't threat anybody, but it's replete in history, and it's also all over the scriptures, that when you treat God's children well, the God of the Bible, the ever-living God, will bless you, and you'll have even better success in whatever it is you're planning to do in this war, let's say. But if you treat us badly, you will be cursed, and it won't go well for you. You may even die, because we have seen that happen. So the choice is yours. If you want to treat us well, we're going to treat you well regardless of whatever you do. But if you treat us well, our Father in heaven will treat you in ways you wouldn't even expect. And I might even tell them about the hailstorm that came out here and the guy from AT&T that came out and says, whoa, I've never seen anything like this before. Over 5,000 acres are destroyed, and when we get to your land, it's perfect. How does that happen? And then when you pass your land, it's back to the bad stuff again. And the land next to me, I didn't even own. It was Larry's land. And I told him, I says, not only does the Lord protect his children, he protects the friends of his children. Larry's land is connected to me. Now it's Zach's land because Zachary bought it. He's a part of his family. And so Zach bought it, and now he owns all that land. So if there's another hailstorm out here and all the places get all dimpled up or destroyed, because all the crops were destroyed except Larry's and my grass, and I had no dimples on my cars. And the AT&T guy needed to hear that. And I was just thinking, that's the kind of same thing I would talk to somebody that tries to commandeer the house if we're here during the Civil War. Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Eli. Jeremiah 26:15 says, "But know ye for certain that if ye put me to death, ye shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth, the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears." And so, amen, we'll just follow the lead of the prophets of old. But do it with love on your face. Don't be getting all up and growling and, you know, snarling. No, I don't think any of this church family does that, but you know what I mean. So, let's see how much further we can go here. Boy, I tell you that I'm still reeling from the study we did last night, brothers. We usually do an hour study, but we did an hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes. We just got so wrapped up in it, and it was amazing. Anyway, she says, "But the prayers and good works of the people of God preserve the world. They are the savor of life." See, this is what people don't get. You destroy the Christians. You're destroying yourselves and your own neighborhoods. Because the blessings of the Christians fall upon those around them. But because nobody believes, they can't see it. But if you have the ability to try to explain it to him, pray for articulation. He'll give you the words, and they'll come flying out like you're an orator. Some guy that's been preaching for decades, right? It'll come out. Can that be a sermon? You think? Yeah. Yeah, amen to that. That's something to think about. Anyway, she says, "But if Christians are only so a name..." You know, Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 types, you know, "Call us Christians to take away our shame, but we're going to walk the way we want to walk. We're going to talk the way we're going to want to talk. We're going to read the Bible the way we want to read it." Oh, that verse? No, no, no. That doesn't go with our creed. So that Bible verse, we're not going to read. But we'll read the rest. Yeah, that's Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1. And that's today's world, as a matter of fact. But again, if Christians are only so in name, you know, the ones with the lip service, if they have not virtuous characters and godly lives, they are like the salt that has lost its savor. Their influence upon the world is bad. They are worse than the unbelievers. And that's why I always like to mention those people that think they're saved. We got to pray for them even more so, because they actually think that they're saved. They actually think that they're pleasing God with their awful lifestyles. There's churches out there that the only way to join the church is to be homosexual. The pastor's a homosexual. And I remember the first one that popped up in, what's the name of that town? It sounded like Babylon or something. It's the upper, it's just east of Chicago. Oh, man, Fran, do you remember the name of that city? It was, I think DiOrio lived there. He was an old boss of mine when I was selling for, John Hancock Insurance. That was DiOrio. He's dead now, so I can say his name. Joe DiOrio was an excellent guy. He was a guy you just wanted to hug. He was just an amazing man. Very, very gentle and caring. But what was the name of that? It doesn't matter. It was the first one in the Chicago area on the south side suburbs, almost Indiana, very close to that side. It wasn't Sauk Trail. It wasn't, I thought it started with a B, but it don't matter. But it does start with a B. But anyway, let me see if we can continue or this changes the subject here. Let's see. Where's the next beatitude start? Boy, it ain't going... Yeah, there it is. Okay, so... Well, that's the next more or less topic. That wasn't a beatitude, so here's where I left off. I guess we can end it here, and we'll pick it up here next week. Oh, I got to do it this way. You got to click... Okay, where's that thing at now? Where'd it be? It's all gone. My little highlighter's gone. Oh, there it is. I'll be... This one... Oops. That's not... Reload. Okay. It'll bring me right back. Oh, look at it. It's still there. Well, maybe I can erase it. Let's see if I can erase it. Yep. All right. It's the highlighter I want. I don't want the pencil. So I'm going to pick yellow. And just that's where we're going to pick it up next week. And I hope and pray you were blessed. Deacon Neil, please do so. We're going to finish in prayer.